Hey there, thanks for tuning in to the Embodied Astrology Podcast. I'm Renee Sills, consulting astrologer, embodiment educator, and your host. Embodied Astrology is much more than a podcast. We are a thriving virtual community offering regular weekly and monthly classes, study groups, and more, exploring the intersections of astrology, creativity, arts, healing, and social change. Aries season has arrived, the astrological new year has begun, and we are headed into eclipse season and a Mercury retrograde. At this point in 2024, things are really starting to heat up. And as we look towards what's forecasted to be another hottest year on record, I'm guessing that many of you are ready for the kinds of changes that are bigger than what you can accomplish on your own. And you might be looking for ways to join forces with others who want to create futures on Earth that are vibrant, creative, and courageously committed to visions of reciprocity, reparation, and recalibration of values and power. At Embodied Astrology, we've been preparing to meet this moment. Beginning the weekend of March 23rd, we're launching a year of experimental programming that's geared towards shaping strategies for the future and crafting containers for new experiences of what community can feel like. Join us for a journey of experiential astrology, where you'll deepen your understanding of chart reading, symbolism, intuition, and divination, and work with astrology to support your artistic and creative practices, navigate through conflict transformation and repair, reawaken your relationships to Earth and the cosmos, and take part in exciting and inspiring conversations with astrologers, artists, activists, and others working in the intersections of mysticism and social change. Follow the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com to learn more. Now, your horoscopes. You're about to listen to your Aries season ahead reading, which is an excerpt from my 2024 year ahead readings. The 2024 readings are deep dives into the major themes and influences of the year for your sun, moon, and rising signs. They offer an abundance of information and support to help you make the most of what this year is bringing. You can download your full-length reading today from the link in the show notes or find them in the horoscope section at embodiedastrology.com. All right, Virgo, we've made it to Aries season. As I mentioned in your year ahead overview, I'm pre-recording all the way to Aries season. And so whenever you listen to this, know that you are listening to a person speaking to you from the past, and Aries season is very much about the future. So I'm going to offer what I can offer, make the meaning that's meaningful for you, take what works and leave the rest. That is the theme for you, for Virgo in Aries season. Take what works and leave the rest. Aries holds a place in the Virgo solar chart called the eighth house. The eighth house is the space of the altar, and it is the doorway to the underworld. It is where we go for ritual and transformation, and it is a place that is very much related with death and with dying, with processes of cord cutting and letting go. Necessarily, because this is also a place in the chart that is deeply related with entanglements, enmeshments, bondages, debts, and inheritances. This is a place where energies merge and come together, and a place that connotes shared resources, what you are sharing with other people, including your time, your body, your attention, your energy, your possessions, your space, and your money. Aries season begins on March 19th, and the day before Aries season begins, Mercury comes in contact with the North Node in Aries. Now, the North Node is one of the eclipse points, and the North and the South Node respectively describe the ascending and descending points of the lunar orbit around the Earth. And so these are points that describe the alignment of the moon's orbital path. And when the sun is close to one of the nodes, or the moon is close to one of the nodes at a new moon or a full moon, then we get eclipses. Now, Mercury and the sun travel close together, and as we enter into Aries season, we are also entering into eclipse season. and Mercury will be going retrograde in eclipse season. And the day before Aries season begins, Mercury is conjunct to the eclipse point. So right off the bat, we're in a period of time that is kind of weird and wonky. Eclipses tend to be like this, weird and wonky. They're often periods of time that feel like time bends and the past and the future kind of collapse together. Eclipses, symbolically in the language of astrology, represent karma, that is to say, cause and effect, or the consequences of actions, coming into a place of ripening, where awareness then can change, consciousness can change, and patterns inside of karma or karmic patterns can either become more deeply vested inside of us or they can change and shift forms. These moments are not necessarily like out of the blue, although sometimes what seem like insignificant events, just casual conversations or spur of the moment decisions, can end up really being quite impacting and profound. The advice that many astrologers would give, and I would definitely encourage this, is that during eclipse season, it's best practice to not impose your own directive on things, but to really try and be present and attuned and aware so that you can make wise choices as life unfolds around you. And being aware of what the patterns are where the eclipses are playing out can help you make those wise choices. So in the eighth house, the north node in this placement would suggest that you are ready for a new evolutionary journey in the spaces and places where you get entangled, enmeshed, where vulnerability and trust are big issues, where resources are merged and shared, where you are encountering debts and inheritances, where cords need to be cut, and where transformation happens, particularly transformation that requires some kind of negotiation with a dying process that doesn't always mean physical or literal death. So much is dying all the time, like aspects of our ego or old ideas and notions of our identities or relationships or what have you. March 18th, Mercury is conjunct to the North Node. March 21st, the Sun is sextiling Pluto. And then we have an eclipse on March 25th. So like, boom, we're just in it. We're just in it. The feeling that I have here is that the feeling that I have somatically, like when I tune in with what I call my body oracle, like as a practice of embodied reading with charts, it feels like a practice of clairsentience to me. The feeling that I get in my body is like I'm on psychedelics. And I don't know if you've had many journeys in your life. But the psychedelic experience for me is frequently one where in the space of a singular instant, it's like all these new neural pathways are opening up in my consciousness and getting formed. And like I'll have like a whole bunch of like, whoa, wow, oh my God, like, you know, epiphanies about maybe basic shit, maybe really profound stuff, but the feeling is this kind of like bodily aliveness and awareness and connections being made. And it's a feeling of really profound kind of mental movement that doesn't feel logical. It doesn't feel linear. It feels like something happening to my brain. When I tune in with your chart through my body oracle, I'm like, wow, Virgo feels really psychedelic in Aries season. It feels like you are just on a journey. And what is this journey revealing to you? As I talked about in Pisces season, and as I certainly talked about in your year ahead overview, energetic healing work is so important to you right now. It's so necessary for you right now. And when you orient yourself energetically, you are profoundly sensitive. Your sensitivity is a gift, and it's something, it's a substance that really needs to be worked with. This is a season that also sees Venus coming together with Saturn in Pisces in your solar seventh house. And considering all that's happening in your eighth house around this time, I'm going to say that I think that in some realm of relationship in your life, a significant chapter is ending. This could be the notion that you have of yourself in relationship. So it doesn't necessarily mean that a particular relationship has to come to a close. It could be that in general, you know, you're like, I'm no longer this. Now I am that. I'm no longer willing to uphold these kinds of contracts or agreements. I can only commit to these other kinds of contracts and agreements. Some of you might be going through really significant shifts with your partners. Your partners may be going through shifts. Your collaborators may be going through shifts. You might be required to be holding space for them, laboring with them to help them reorganize and reorient in these places. But there is some pretty deep relational transformation that's happening, and it feels really psychedelic. It just feels like you need to be on the ride with it. Now, don't get gripped and attached right now. Like I was saying, eclipse season is not the time to try and be super directive. It's the time to practice attunement and awareness and present moment checking in, right? Working with your breath, noticing your energy body, and really being honest with yourself about what is happening for you in your internal world. Like being very honest with yourself, because your energy is palpable. And if you're not honest with yourself right now, it's honestly on you. The eclipse on March 25th is an eclipse in the sign Libra. Now, Libra holds your solar second house of finances and personal possessions. This is a place also of your self-worth and confidence and inner security. As well as your money, what you own, what you possess, and your capacity to work with what you have to get what you need. This eclipse is asking you to really let go of old, outdated, unhelpful ideas about self-worth and any kinds of entanglements, attachments that you have with other people that are based on material stability and are not serving you on an energetic or emotional level. This is an eclipse that is asking you to do the work of educating yourself about the ways that you need to grow in order to feel more stable and secure. So that could be in the realm of relationships. That could be in the realm of finance. It could be in the realm of some new skill or, capacity that you are cultivating for yourself. But it feels like this is an eclipse that is drawing you towards the paths and the practices that can increase your sense of self-worth and stability, contribute to your well-being, to your sustenance, and your nourishment. As you let go of what is outdated in the ways that you agree to give your time, energy, attention to others. And so there might need to be some clarification of values inside of your important relationships and agreements. This could be a time where it's like, okay, we need an update of our operating systems. What are we trying to work towards in the future? Your chart, as I've talked about in Pisces and Aquarius season, has a lot of emphasis on moving towards the future, especially with partners, with collaborators, with others. And so there might need to be some kind of focus or intent around what needs to be cultivated in order to move in these new directions. What resources do you need? What needs to grow? What needs to change? And this is certainly an eclipse and full moon that is wanting you to pay attention to attachments or investments that are not aligned for your future journeys. Astrology, like many things in our world, is a system that has been shaped and distorted by patriarchy, white supremacy, and colonial imperialism. But we're lucky to be alive at a time when this language is evolving rapidly and providing healing, insight, and support for so many people. Astro's current revolution is due to the scholarship and praxis of philosophers, mystics, and oracles who pushed and continue to push against the way things have been written, orienting instead to radical, queer, and creative potentials of this craft. Embodied astrology is firmly rooted in a lineage of evolutionary expansion and ancestral repair. Our teaching team and community center queer and diverse approaches to working with symbolism and engaging astral mechanics and magic. If this sounds like something you're looking for, we hope that you'll join us for the launch of our new program the weekend of March 23rd and 24th. We start on Saturday, March 23rd, with a council session led by Sherry Taylor on the Femme Faces of Saturn. Sherry is a clinical psychologist, death doula, grief mentor, and practitioner of planetary allyship. This is her second year teaching with embodied astrology, and she's continuing in 2024 to deepen with the mystery school of Saturn's transit in Pisces. This special session sets the tone for a devotional cycle with Saturn and mythic mysteries of bone mothers and tenders of time. Drop in once and receive an initiation into your own practice, along with a workbook full of prompts and exercises. Or sign up for the whole series and commit to a journey that will reshape your understanding of how to work with this important energy of obstacles and integration. Sunday, March 24th, Embodied Astrology is delighted to welcome back acclaimed author, playwright, and artist astrologer Junata Petrus for her third year teaching with us. In 2024, by popular demand, Junata will be expanding her artistic alchemy offerings from quarterly workshops to a monthly series. Join us every month near the full moon for a sweet and soulful gathering where we'll work with the transiting lunar solar axis in our charts and in our hearts. We'll reflect on how we show up for ourselves, our creative devotions, and the realities of surviving in a world that is filled with both beauty and uncertainty. In these sessions, we'll practice staying grounded with the rhythms of astrology and spirit, channeling the wisdom of cosmic alignment, and opening to celestial guidance from ancestors as support for balancing creative life in the real world. You can always drop in to one of Junata's monthly gatherings or sign up for the whole year and get access to a virtual communion space where you can connect with other creatively minded seekers. All of our offerings are recorded for those who can't attend live. Embodied Astrology is committed to financial accessibility. You can find scholarship codes right on our checkout pages for sliding scale, and you can always write to us for more support if finances are a barrier. Click the link in our show notes or head to embodiedastrology.com to learn more and sign up. Between March 21st and April 3rd, there's a lot going on between your solar seventh house where Pisces is and your solar ninth house, the place of Taurus in your chart. This is continuation from Pisces season and many of the themes that I talked about last month. And the themes here are, how are we moving together towards the future, or are we moving apart so that we can move towards the future? April 1st, Mercury stations retrograde at 27 degrees of Aries. It will station direct in Taurus season on April 25th at 15 degrees of Aries. On April 4th, the Sun is conjunct to the North Node. And on April 8th, we're going to have the second eclipse. Eclipses come in sets, which is a solar eclipse and new moon at 19 degrees of Aries. And this is a eclipse conjunct to the centaur planet Chiron. All of the Mercury retrograde period, which includes the solar eclipse, so pretty much the entire month of April, there is an enormous effort towards recalibrating, reworking, maybe reclaiming or repairing your solar eighth house issues. Intimacy, trust, debts, inheritances, death, dying, transformation, shared resources, including your body. So here we've got sex, we have money, we have other people's resources, we have space and time, all the stuff, like the stuff that's there, like the stuff of relationships. In your year ahead overview, I talked about how this is a year where you're getting fired up and you're going to be saying some things. April is a month where you are saying some things. What has been buried in your consciousness when it comes to all the little ways that you did this and that person didn't do or da 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 da, like all the resentments, all the stuff that's down there that, you know, like you weren't able to speak for whatever reason in the moment. This could date back decades. A lot of that is coming to the surface. Now it's your job to deal with what's coming up for you. And I think a lot of you, there's a lot of stuff coming up that is deeper and older and tied to different kinds of entanglements than what might be manifesting purely in this moment. And so as I talked about in your year ahead overview, it is essential that you are doing the work with yourself that you need to do. Your partners cannot be solely responsible for reparenting you. For example, if you have inner child trauma and drama, and who amongst us does not, it's your work. It's your work. And it's not that your partners can't be there. They can be supportive. You can find therapists. You can find allies. You can find friends. But it's up to you to ask for what you need. It's up to you to find the right people. It's up to you to consistently commit to doing this work. It is up to you to do what is necessary in order to evolve, update, and empower your sense of agency. It is up to you to move towards the repairs that need to happen. This is an enormously empowering time, potentially, for Virgos, because there's so much here that can get brought to the surface that when you work with it, when you deal with it, it can really liberate an enormous amount of your energy. And I'm going to say that the solar eclipse on April 8th, which is a total solar eclipse, by the way, it's a very powerful eclipse. This is an eclipse that wants to help you cut the cords and deal with the issues and look at what is here. I will also say that it's not that easy, because the eighth house is a place that's deeply complex. This is where we are entangled, where we are enmeshed. This is where we get caught up in ancestral forces and other people's unfinished business and sometimes their sorcery. It is also a place where we encounter the residue of manipulated power and misuse of power in our own bodies, where we have to encounter the, evil sorcerers that live inside all of us, where we might engage with a little, you know, light emotional manipulation play, or like be devoted to death forces or something. You know, like, I don't know about you, but I know that I have lots of patterning in me that really doesn't always serve like the highest interest of all involved. I come also from lineages of trauma. There are many ways that I have learned to work against myself, to abandon myself, and to be invested in annihilation, because I live in a world that has annihilated people viciously, persistently, historically, institutionally, interpersonally, in an ongoing way. How could I not internalize that violence? Now, my work is to make it conscious in myself. My work is to hold and heal those parts of myself, not to suppress or repress them or pretend that I'm like better than everybody else and I, you know, can't make a mess. That's what gets us into the bullshit with each other. It's when we have to separate and cut pieces off of ourselves, and it's when we pathologize and punish and make things wrong that will really mutate consciousness. So this is also a season that is really asking you to get your hands dirty, so to speak, and to be with the energies of death, dying, and transformation. Be with the questions of power. Be with the questions of misuse of power. This is a real psychedelic period. There is a lot that's coming up. But just like when you're on psychedelics, just like when you're in a dream, when you work with your bodily state, with your inner body state, with your psyche and psychology, then you can go on a journey. Then you can get into the root, into the radix of the experience and do the big transformational pieces. And I think that's what is available to a lot of you. But I will say it unequivocally that Aries season is really fucking intense for Virgos. It's intense on a collective level, but it is really intense for Virgos. It can be intense in a really amazing, empowering, transformative way. It could be intense in a not amazing, empowering, or transformative way. And to a certain extent, that's going to be up to you and how you are willing and able to work inside of your experiences and your commitment to locating your own dignity inside of these experiences and committing to that dignity. On April 10th, Mars and Saturn are conjunct in your solar seventh house of committed partnership and relationship. This is an aspect that to me feels like the writing is on the freaking wall. If somebody is a trustworthy ally for you and you can move in a direction with them, you know it. If they're not, you know it. The writing is on the wall. For some of you, certain relationships are ending or have ended, and you need to grieve. You need to be with the feelings that are there and allow the magnitude of that loss and the shift to get processed internally so that you can move on. There's something about letting truth land, especially when it comes to important relationships. As we move through the rest of Aries season, the last 10 days or so, April 11th through the 19th, there are just ongoing contacts between the Sun, Mercury, Venus, and the North Node in your eighth house. And so I don't know that I have a lot more to say other than continuing to emphasize what I've already said. The last thing that I'm going to offer is that on April 20th, which is the day after Aries season ends, so the first day of Taurus season, Jupiter and Uranus will form a conjunction in Taurus. This is a conjunction that has been in the works for quite some time. Jupiter entered Taurus in May of 2023 for good. It was there for a minute in 2022. Uranus entered Taurus in 2017. For the last however many months it's been now, almost a year, Jupiter has been applying to a conjunction with Uranus. It has been moving closer and closer. They will conjoin at 22 degrees of Taurus. If your Virgo placements are close to 22 degrees, take note. This is a trine aspect to your natal placements then, and one that is particularly powerful and potentially important. This signifies a massive shift in energy. On a collective level, I'm going to say that this is earth-shaking, perhaps literally around this time. This is an enormously revolutionary atmosphere at the moment. In your chart, the ninth house has to do with the ways that you are making meaning about your place in the world and how you want to be contributing here. There are connotations of this placement in your chart towards you in positions of teaching, of leadership, of adventure. If you're involved in writing, publishing, public speaking, if you are an advisor or a consultant or an astrologer, this is a really exciting period of time for you. Your voice is getting amplified. your vision is expanding. There are opportunities and doors opening for you as we move into Taurus season. And as we move out of Aries season and into Taurus season, you have to know what you stand for. You are being called to an adventure. You are being called on a particular path. And this path requires your commitment to your own liberation. It requires your expansiveness, your free thinking, your willingness to do what you need to do in this dream, in this quest called life, in the ways that your life is continuous with life around you. Life is calling to you. And Aries season is a time that is asking you to deal with that. Because even if, you know, a lot of opportunities, as expansive as they might feel, could be terrifying. Some of you might really be needing to feel into the capacities for your personal power. Some of you might be feeling like, you know, you're like done with certain things and you are blazing to move out in some kind of new direction. Some of you might feel completely awash and immersed in how life is lifing, and you just need to follow into the next step. So there is a very deep feeling of surrender to what is happening, to the transformations that are occurring, and a necessity for you to commit to your dignity, to upholding the dignity of your spirit, to doing your work here, to being accountable to your shadow and to your spirit, to doing the work inside of relationships, cutting the cords where the cords need to be cut, and clarifying the commitments where the commitments need to be clarified. Some important conversations might need to happen or have already happened so that you can move to the next step. Thanks so much for tuning in with Embodied Astrology. This work wouldn't exist without a team. Big thanks to Alicia Maugi, Joe Stewart, Ash Good, Ariana Sears-Putowski, and Gabs404 for making it all happen with me, Renee Sills. As Pluto moves into Aquarius, one of the main things to remember is that teamwork makes our dreams work. In the spirit of community and collaboration, Embodied Astrology is in an active transition to becoming a collective multi-voice platform. This year, I've invited four facilitators with whom I've been working for the last several years to join me as core faculty in co-visioning and co-creating an exciting, innovative, and totally unique astrological studies program. Sherry Taylor, Junata Petrus, Ramon Parrish, Gabs404, and I are interested in how astrology can assist us in realizing embodied healing, radical imagination, and creative collective liberation. We're inviting you to join us in our explorations in small or big ways. Our full program will be an immersive and life-transforming experience that takes place over the course of 16 months. And most of our offerings also have opportunities to drop in for one or just a few sessions. For more information and to sign up, check the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com.